With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And welcome to episode 82 of the Talking Yaki podcast.
82.
I just had to make a new one because Martin's an idiot and couldn't figure out his stuff. So I had to restart.
As usual, Martin's being an idiot and ruins everything for everyone.
We have to record this at 10 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. One, because I had to change the day because I'm going to Montreal tomorrow. And two...
So you're taking a vacation and may just change the day. That's what
it's
I'm
not really doing. A vacation. I'm unemployed.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
That's even worse. It's even worse because you're complaining about doing something late at night and you don't have to wake up for work tomorrow. That's the worst. I have an 8 a.m. meeting tomorrow morning. I have an 8 a.m. meeting tomorrow morning. Luke just doesn't have to get up.
Correct.
I have to wake up early tomorrow, but it's for golf. So
I hate you too. All right. Martin's usual Monday to Friday morning golfs because he doesn't have a job either.
Yeah. I don't know what
he
Martin
has to get it
to
in. He has to get the rounds in because, you know, it's soon going to be snowing.
Ending.
No more golf
season's ending.
Yeah, then his entire personality will be gone after that.
Yeah.
What personality? Yeah. Did he have one before?
That's a good point. But I was pointing towards golf being, you know, the only personality.
My personality becomes fantasy hockey.
Yeah.
As the snow comes, it turns from golf to fantasy hockey.
Eric, move the mic
away
from
your
Eric,
you're eating your microphone right now.
Yeah. It's not a chocolate bar.
Yeah, come on, Eric.
Oh, so, it's almost time for rating the chocolate bars again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, we do need a new ranking. I'll post some chocolate rankings. Don't worry. Yeah, I got some chocolate for my birthday, so
happy
birthday, Eric.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, in honor of Eric's birthday, which was October 11th.
10th. And that's wrong.
10th.
And
10th.
Ty is correct.
Sorry, it's already been 2 days. In honor of Eric's birthday, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell us give us one bar about how much Eric sucks, or one star, or 5 stars, how much you love Eric. But please don't let it go to Eric's head.
I was in Vancouver. I woke up and I was the first one to wish Eric a happy birthday because I don't think anyone else knew, but I did.
I think that is true. That is true. In the group, you were the first one.
I was.
I knew. I just didn't care.
I was mad at Eric, so I didn't wish him a happy birthday.
I heard there was supposed to be a big birthday party. Martin, what happened?
I wanted to, but everyone's like busy for Thanksgiving and doing family stuff on different days. Everyone does their family stuff on different days. Some people do on Mondays, some people do on Sundays, some people do on Saturdays. I'm just like, pick a day. Like, why doesn't everyone just pick a day? Yeah, and Martin just doesn't go and see his parents at all. Like, he's just a complete savage about it. I remember when he was dating his like ex-girlfriend, he'd just never go home for Thanksgiving. And he'd like... sometimes I'll come for Christmas. You just like stay.
Hey,
and his parents don't have any other
Jeremy
kids. His parents have him. His parents have him. That is it. And he just wouldn't go and see them like a fucking asshole. But anyways, back to hockey. Martin, don't defend yourself.
I haven't been here for...
Yeah, Ty's finally back after a month.
I'm back.
And today we're going to rank the different divisions, correct? And then what else has happened? Game one and two are on of the season tonight. So
yeah. Tampa Bay is going to go 0-82 because they apparently suck now. And Pittsburgh is going to go 82-0 without Crosby or Malkin, apparently. Or Gensel. Or anyone else good in their lineup. I think Letang's out too, is he? Maybe.
No, Letang's there.
He's the only guy.
Letang's normally.
Oh, your boy Marino's there and Aston Reese are there. So, I mean,
what that's all you need. You need Czar, you need Marino. You're good to go.
Shut him down.
You're not going to let a goal in if you have those two on the ice. Yep.
So. I wanted to show you something here. I have a new microphone. It's a High School Musical karaoke microphone.
Nice.
That I found in my basement.
Yeah. Because, well, you still use it all the time. I'm surprised you didn't think about this before.
Yeah, I know. Luke, I have a
question for
you. You
karaoke with yourself all the time.
Yeah, it's true, I do. It was showing you as muted on Zencaster. I don't know if that was an issue.
Yeah, I'm back. No, I'm muting and unmuting myself because I'm typing a bit because I'm the producer. I'm looking up things.
Okay.
Everyone should give. I know we just said rate the show for Eric's birthday. Everyone should give him a 1-star because he sucks.
That impacts the rest of us.
If I get a 1-star, all of us get a 1-star.
Yeah, I don't like this rating system, Luke.
I know, it's not good for the show, but whatever. Bring down Eric, the authoritarian.
I am a bit of an authoritarian. This is true.
So
that's why you should come work for me, Luke.
This Tampa Bay Pittsburgh game's getting wild. Like, Tampa Bay's had no goalie for like the last 5 minutes, I feel like. And Pittsburgh just keeps scoring empty net goals.
What's the score right now?
Pittsburgh just scored again, so it's 6-2. Vasilevsky is not going back in the net. Because why the fuck would he? Like, just fuck it.
You know? Awesome. Well, okay, so let's start with what were we going to start with? Divisions?
Yeah, ranking the teams in the divisions and where we think they're going to place.
Yeah, well, I guess since every team's fully, you know, not many more like major moves are coming, so I feel like we can do that. Do you guys want to do that, or do you want to talk about like the recent stuff that happened? You know, like McKinnon with COVID, Kravtsov getting
I think we can rapid fire that at the end. Let's get into the divisions first. I
agree. Okay,
those are rapid fire.
Which division do we want to start with? Does anyone want to pull them up?
Obviously, the hot topic, Pacific.
Are we
still calling them like Toyota and shit?
No.
Or was that just a one-time thing? Okay,
that
thank God.
One-time thing. One-time.
Let's
COVID
go with the
thing.
Pacific. I think the one with the least amount of.
I feel like everyone's
bad. So like.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's in with like Seattle, Vegas, Edmonton, and Calgary, basically making the playoffs. I think it seems like feels like there's pretty big consensus over that, and then a few
people.
I think
LA can beat Calgary out.
Yeah, I was going to say a few people have Vancouver, LA making a bit of a run and getting into that wild card spot essentially.
So I just wanted to say over the weekend, I was watching Vancouver versus Edmonton. I know it's preseason, McDavid wasn't playing, but I wanted to say that both teams are absolutely awful. Keith Ceci.
Scout tie.
I got a Keith Ceci. I got a live view of them playing together. I got to watch Tyler Myers, Tucker Poolman, Quinn Hughes had a terrible turnover that led to a breakaway. Who else was there that was just awful?
Rathbone, maybe?
Yeah. Luke Shen was playing. Good times, God. Man.
That's like an elite defense core right there. You know? That
Ekman
is
Larson?
Worth that's a $30 million decor right there.
What a game I saw. But yeah, both teams are absolutely the Pacific Division. It used to be like 5 years ago, whenever your team went there to like your Eastern Conference team, they played San Jose, LA, Anaheim. You'd have been lucky to win like one of those games. And now they're just three easy wins, and Vancouver's an
easy
win.
I'm going to go with that was longer than 5 years ago, early 2010s.
Yeah, man, time flies.
I mean, even up until like 2015. Basically,
it's crazy how quickly how it's changed though. Like now they're the easy wins. You look forward to playing LA now in your California road trip. That should be
honestly like
in the bag.
You look forward to playing anyone in the Pacific outside of Vegas.
Yeah,
almost. It's almost like a blessing. Maybe you don't want to face McDavid, but other than
you don't
that,
really like teams don't like playing McDavid. Like, it's general consensus that McDavid's not fun. But
you shouldn't want to play against McDavid. That's a smart.
I mean, if you're really good, you should want to play against him because you want to prove that you're better than him. But
sure.
Well,
sure.
But okay, but McDavid's one player. McDavid's one player, and you can just take advantage of Barry, Nurse,
shutting him down.
CC.
Yeah.
He's just one guy on
the ice. I think Edmonton's going to be one of the most fun. I think arguably the most fun team to watch because they could be both one of the top five highest scoring teams and one of the highest top five highest scored against teams in the NHL. Like Mike they're going to throw out CC and Keith for 20 minutes a night.
Yes.
That's 20 minutes of just pure fucking offense like for the other team. And then whatever minutes that McDavid constantly plays with Nurse and Tyson Barry, so it's just going to be constant offense for 20 minutes with McDavid on the ice, constant offense the other way for Keith and CeCe on the ice, and then the other half basically, or the other third of the game. So I think that'll be really, I think Edmonton will be a team you got to watch on a regular basis this year.
I also saw Edmonton's projected lineups and all the talk of Hyman playing with McDavid. I think Hyman's playing on the second line, not with McDavid.
Yeah, they have him. I mean, it makes more sense to put RNH with McDavid than it does to put Hyman with McDavid. Because Hyman with Draisaitl and Yamamoto makes more sense because RNH can at least shoot the puck better than Hyman can. And McDavid's already a great playmaker. Why would you put a guy who's special? Like, you don't need a guy to win puck battles. You have Puljujarvi on that line, who's actually quite good at that. And that's what Hyman's specialty is. So why wouldn't you split that up? Draisaitl's the shooter, Yamamoto, well, shooter and passer almost, but Yamamoto more of a playmaker, and Hyman wins those puck battles and plays a more defensive role than what Draisaitl does, right?
I do want to say, this is completely off topic. Well, it's still on the Pacific, but this is a really cool game, a historic game for our generation. The two, two
expansion teams.
Expansion teams facing each other in the first game. It's pretty cool.
Wow! Yeah. Thanks, Boomer Martin. Amazing.
Glad, that's a non-boomer thing to say. Boomers would know all the expansions. Shut up.
I mean, yeah, probably the last time that ever happens in our lifetime. There's probably going to be no new teams. No,
for sure.
Expansion teams. There might be new teams like move.
I still like my strategy of the NHL just going into a bunch of different markets and saying fuck it. But yeah,
that is
like getting huge. They get in a huge league.
Yeah, like add another 10 teams. Why the fuck not? Ridiculous. If you're gonna be so local, why not just go local? You know.
Okay, we're getting off topic. Producer Luke is here.
Hey,
Producer Luke is here to tell you.
Producer Luke, get back. This is the brand of the podcast. You can't kill the brand.
And maybe that's why we've seen very little growth, Martin. Have you ever thought about that?
That's true.
I don't pay attention to that. So
Martin's just here.
I do.
So I think that Vegas, back to your standings, Vegas, number one, easy pick. Number two through seven, who knows? But it should be some order of Seattle, Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, LA, and then Anaheim and San Jose are probably your two teams that are definitely not in the mix.
Yeah, Anaheim and San Jose is brutal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely
they're not good anywhere. And I think Anaheim might finally make it the year to sell off. So if they get rid of Raquel, Lindholm, Fowler.
I've seen stuff about Gibson leaving.
Josh Manson.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of guys that they could sell off, and I think they need to. So, but they also got Zegras coming in. Should be entertaining. But yeah, Anaheim at the bottom. I think Calgary's going to be an interesting team because, you know, who's their coach? Suter? Not Suter. Sutter. Sorry. Sutter. Can he like rebound with Calgary? I don't know. I feel like Calgary can go two ways. They can have a really good team or just be completely ass and like go, like Tkachuk only signs a 1-year deal after like 2-year deal or something like that and goes to free agency. like, you know, they sell off Monahan because he only has a year left or 2 years left on his deal. Sell off Johnny Hockey only has a year left. Yeah, like there's could be like a bunch of guys that could just sell off.
Well, there's a 50% chance of them being good or bad, Eric. It's just 50%, the math.
50%. Thank you, Luke.
But I think at best scenario, they're like second or third in the division. And worst case scenario, they're like sixth.
Basically. I think if you were watching Calgary last year when Daryl Sutter took over, he was coaching them like they were the 2012 LA Kings when they're definitely not the 20. He was 2012 LA Kings, and he was like they had Drew Doughty and Pete Kopitar and Dustin Brown on the team when they obviously don't.
Yeah, and he even tried using Backlund similarly to how he used Kopitar, and it just didn't really work. Backlund isn't what he used to be, basically. But anyways, can't focus too much on one team because you got a bunch of divisions to go. But yeah, Calgary, they can go anywhere.
Middling team,
but yeah, it's hard to. I think the Pacific and the Metro are the hardest to rank. I feel pretty comfortable with the Central and
for different reasons.
Atlantic. Yeah, for different reasons. Everyone in the Pacific's crap. Everyone in the Metro's good.
So Pacific, also, we're thinking.
I could Vegas. See Calgary being like the bottom, like below Anaheim, to be honest.
I don't know about that. I feel like they have enough.
I don't like Calgary.
I feel like they have enough there to beat. Like Anaheim has nothing. You know what I mean? Like Anaheim has nothing. Like nothing really going for them.
Yes.
So Calgary has some stuff going for them.
Yeah. You know? So
they still have a bunch of really good forwards. They have some young players that could do better. Tkachuk, Mangiapane.
And Dube are big X factors.
Yeah. Yeah. Dube, Valimaki stepping back in, seeing how he does. Rasmus Anderson maybe taking another little step forward. Like they have some. Is Noah Hanifin's there too? Can he do a little bit better? I think there's like a couple, like there's a little bit there. Anaheim is just like nothing.
Anaheim's like back end anything. Is better than Calgary's back. Like if you look at Calgary's back end, they got Anderson, Killington, and
he's not playing.
Killington's not even playing. So
they got Anderson. I don't think he's anything at this point.
I mean they will be playing Zadorov, so that's going to be fun. Unfortunately,
Zadorov trying to take on McDavid on a regular basis.
So. That's going to be great to watch.
Your next division. So anyway, sorry, Luke. What we were saying was Vegas could be anything so in between.
Vegas, Seattle, Calgary, Edmonton, Los Angeles are like the five contenders. And then
I'm saying mine would be Vegas, Edmonton, Seattle, LA.
I think that'd be mine too.
That order.
I still have a hard time seeing LA doing it, but
they still Jonathan Quick. Anything's possible.
Quick's not even playing.
Yeah, Quick's dead. But the new guy, Cal Peterson, I like him. So We'll see. I think LA can surprise. You know, they did get a bunch of good additions. No Arvidsson. I think that's it. Actually, a bunch of young guys stepping in, possibly.
But they have young guys that could step in. I mean, Byfield has that injury, which is unfortunate for his development.
It's kind of shitty. Fuck that Seattle had such a bad expansion draft, yet they're still going to probably host the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were almost, no matter how badly they screwed up that expansion draft, they're always going to, you know, even if they made more wrong picks than the ones we already discussed on that other episode, like they were still going to make the playoffs because of the division. Like in the Atlantic, I'd be putting them in fourth or fifth or sixth, depending on, not sixth. Fourth or fifth. Because I think they're better than Montreal.
Let's
FYI, the game has now started.
Congratulations.
Okay. Anyways, what do we do next? Central Division?
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show. Central?
Okay. I mean, I think it's obvious
Guys, I think we should take this into account right now. Arizona, according to TSN, is currently at the top of that division only because it's ranked alphabetically, but they should own this while they still have it.
Yeah, they are first in the division. I wish their like social media team would make it.
It's not even alphabetically
that.
Correct. Oh, I guess.
Yes, it depends is.
Depends on what you do.
What do you
mean depends on what you do?
Well, if you ranked it alphabetically with the
Coyotes?
Yeah, Coyotes, Avalanche.
I see.
But no one does that in any league.
Yeah. No one does that. Yes, you are correct. Okay.
So what you just said is completely useless. Good to know.
Yes. Everyone leave a review about how dumb Martin is, please. One stars.
You can do that. Most educated on the pod, dumbest.
So Avalanche number one. I think Minnesota for number two. What do you guys think on that?
Easy. I think I've even said before, I've gone on record and said that I could see Minnesota being first in the division.
If you didn't before,
I mean, sorry?
I said if it wasn't on record before, it's on record now.
Yeah, it's on now. But if Colorado, because, okay, they're counting a lot on Darcy Kemper being a number one goalie and staying healthy for the majority of the year because
it's mostly staying healthy.
Yeah, it's mostly staying healthy. And him being, you know, it being as consistent as he was the past 2 years in regards to his performance. They lost Grubauer, who was, you know, Vezina finalist. Whether you agree with it or not, he was a Vezina finalist and he performed really, really well. But they lost Donskoy as well, right? That's another forward piece gone. Kadri didn't have a very good year last year, I don't think. He's taken a step back. I mean, you still have McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen.
Yeah, Kadri definitely had a rough year last season.
And you have a good D, but I mean, you really only go as far as your goalie. And if Kemper's injured, like how he was the majority of last year, I see Minnesota as a better team.
Francouz is a formidable backup, so they can give Kemper rest. But yes,
he was also injured. He's injured, and he was injured majority of last year too.
Yes, but Kemper needs to be there. Is all I wanted to say with that. Francouz cannot be the starter.
No, I know.
And their other guy, Jonas Johansson, cannot be the starter either. Mostly because I don't even know who he is.
He's on Buffalo. Yeah, exactly. I remember a guy on Buffalo last year, one of the Buffalo writers. I think they traded him for like a 7th-round pick last year to Colorado, because it was when Grubauer had COVID and Francouz was also injured, and so they just got this guy. And one of the Buffalo reporters said he was the worst goalie he'd ever seen in his time reporting on NHL.
That's awful. Yeah. That's so
Vegas. Vegas just scored.
Thanks, Martin.
Vegas just scored.
Thanks, Martin.
Great.
Weak goal.
Martin,
weak
by the time goal. This is live, all this information will be completely irrelevant. So just keep it to yourself.
Oh, I know. But like, I'm just telling you guys.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin. And what I was going to say was, look at their defense though. Man, okay. That defense can get you past a shitty goalie, I think. Makar, your top pairing is Makar and Devin Taves. Your second pair is Sam Girard and probably Eric Johnson. And then your third pair is Ryan Murray and Bowen Byram. That's an insane top. That's the best defense in the NHL, bar none. No, nobody's even close.
Yes. And they obviously probably have the best line in hockey.
Yes. They kept the best line versus Boston. Yeah, we'll see. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but
or the point Kucherov Palat line that's also up there, but yeah, regardless,
I might say the Blackhawks could contend for second, depending on what Fleury does.
Yeah,
if Fleury can stay what he did last year,
the division's really bad, so I can agree. I don't think second. I think Minnesota's...
They're playoffs.
They are playoffs. Like, they are playoffs.
Especially if Taves comes potential. Back and plays well.
Potential.
The thing with Chicago is, like, it's a weird team. Like, what are the odds Taves is still as good as he was before? You know, he took a year off.
But he was really good that prior year, though. I think it was, or it was maybe even the year before. But
yeah, that was one of his better years in the previous couple years, for sure. But a year off is a lot. And their defense is still... Kirby
Doc is a big X factor.
Kirby Doc is a big X factor. And he also missed a year. And he missed a year in his, you know, his 20-year-old season, 19-year-old season, I forget. I think 19-year-old season. That's a big year for development.
Yeah, he's 20 right now.
Yeah. So he missed his 19-year-old season. So his D plus 2, which is a big year development-wise. So that's that can hurt them. And then Seth Jones, you know, he'll be his usual crap. And I'm kidding. Not crap, just meh. And then, but they don't have, like, Fleury's going to have to save a lot is what I'm going to say with their defense.
I do want to just update people because I feel like people think Eric thinks Seth Jones is a completely awful defenseman.
I joke Eric about it. I don't actually think.
Yeah. That. Seth Jones is just an overrated defenseman.
Yeah.
That's all we think on this podcast.
Yes. But sorry, Ty, continue.
I was going to say that, like, I could see them being like third or fourth in the division. I think it's the clear top two is going to be Colorado and Minnesota, because I think that people also don't realize that Minnesota was really good last season, right?
Yes.
And I know, they sure, they bought out Parise,
and good defense. Yeah.
They bought out Parise, yes. They bought out Suter, as dumb as those decisions were, but I think that makes them better this year.
This year is the year that should make them better.
Exactly. And Marco Rossi coming in, if he can play and be, even though he took a year off, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, if you listen to the podcast back in before the 2020 draft, you knew I was a big Marco Rossi guy. The guy didn't play a single game last year.
You love Marco Rossi.
He is making the team this year, and he is great.
This is a Marco Rossi stan podcast.
Right here. Yes.
Yeah.
Huge Marco Rossi.
Marty loves him. Martin's loved him for a while, like 2 years before he was drafted, since he was
big Ottawa 67s. Yeah. Ottawa 67s.
Martin liked him for like 2 years before he was drafted. We were talking about him.
I said Marco Rossi should go second overall.
Yep. I mean, and I think he should.
It's on record.
I think it is on record. I'm still mad at Ottawa didn't draft him.
But regardless,
who would you draft? Sanderson? Oof.
Yes.
Oof. Yeah.
Don't forget when Buffalo also took another Ottawa 67 before Marco Rossi in Jack.
Good time. Oh,
That's besides the point.
That's still like one of the most bizarre draft decisions I've, like, Jake Sanderson's one thing because, you know, maybe you're just going position. It's the usual, you know, picking position over. But if you're, but even like, he's also the position. Better player and same or better position because Marco Rossi can play center.
And you've obviously scouted the team because they're on the same team.
Yeah, you can't say you didn't see him. Because you would have seen him being better than Jack Quinn on his.
This just hurts.
This is besides the
point. Oh, they're sick.
Oh, my God, Martin.
Martin, relax, buddy.
Martin.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry. Seattle looks awful.
Holy shit. Yeah, okay, so
that's the thing with Seattle. Seattle has a good team on paper, but do they gel? Do they, you know, have chemistry? That's what's going to be the determinant of their success.
And I don't think you're going to find that out game one.
Yeah, you're not going to find, you know, that. You can't even determine that 10 games in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a bunch of guys out. Like, they don't even have Gord yet. They don't have.
Oh, McCann and them all got cleared to play?
All those guys with COVID were cleared to play. Gord is out there, right? But they were, Alexiak in, McCann's in, and whoever the other one is in. I just read the tweets.
To get back on topic, though, the Blackhawks are in tight with the Stars and Blues. The Blues did some decent stuff, like Buchnevich is pretty good addition. The Stars, like if Robertson and Hintz can do stuff, which I'm banking on hard, because I have Robertson in my fantasy.
Mark took Robertson a little too high. High. When we had a podcast like 2 weeks before talking about drafting Robertson too high.
Yeah, you got freaked out, man. There was no one else there. There's yeah, no
it,
one else.
It happens. There. I get it. I made some panic picks too. It happens to the best of us.
You Dallas is like 21 yeah. players. It's fucking
22 players.
But Dallas could easily be the fourth or third.
Dallas could be third or even second in the division.
Yes.
And the reason I
depending
say that
on how Sagan comes back.
Exactly. Too. Sagan and no, but they're not just getting Sagan. They're getting Sagan and Radulov back.
Yes.
Both of those guys were gone last season, basically the entire season. Radulov played like 10 games or 11 games, and he was point per game. He was over point per game those 10, 11 games. I'm not saying he's going to be point per game this season. I doubt it. But 60 points is possible, even though he's 35 now. So Sagan, if he can be a 60-point player again, like he has been for most of his career, you know, that's Tyler Sagan, Pavelski, Radulov, Rupe Hintz, and Jason Robertson, who could all put up 60-plus points. And then you look at, like, Gurianov, who, you know, Gurianov's still 24 years old. I still think there's a little bit of improvement there.
And so. Klingberg could put up 50.
Yeah, Klingberg's never going to – I feel like he's never going to fit in on – what's his name? Rick Bonus's system. I think that's the issue at heart. But regardless, Klingberg's still a really good player. So it's like
– and so is Heiskanen, obviously.
Yeah, and Suter actually fits in with their system well.
Can we agree that the Central Division like has the best defensive teams in the fucking league? Like, Jesus, like
no, but I think Avalanche,
Stars, Wild. Holy shit, those defense.
But it used to be even better. Insane. Remember, like Nashville had Ellis.
Nashville had one of the fucking unreal ones too.
St. Louis had Petrangelo. Like, like the amount of defensive talent in the Central was kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
They've all, a little bit of it's gone.
And we're forgetting the Jets. Jets could still compete.
Jets had Bufflin. I don't know if you call him great defensive talent, but great offensive talent with the guy.
I was saying. Right now,
they could make the playoffs.
So basically, the only bottom teams are the Coyotes and Predators, and then all the other teams.
I mean, even the Predators, Saros.
No.
If Saros has a Vezina worthy season, and I know they're bad.
It's possible he does.
They are bad. I'm not arguing they're not.
The offense.
But the Central isn't that strong.
They need to score goals. Like he could get a shutout every night, and
yeah, they might not even score like two goals a game.
Score a goal.
Yeah,
like Yosi's gonna be their top point producer. Without a doubt.
Yeah, Yosi or Forsberg are gonna be their top point producer most likely. Basically,
yes.
And their defense got a lot. Oh my god, their defense is gross. Oh, yeah. That's so bad.
It fell off a cliff.
That's so bad without Ellis there, man. It looks terrible. Like they have Fabro, who hasn't really done anything. I love Borowicki. I have such a soft spot in my heart for Borowicki, but he's not a good player.
It's Borowiecki. Can we please get that right?
What?
Big Ben. Borowiecki, not Borowicki. Come on.
Whatever his name is. I have so much love for him in my heart. But
good guy.
Good seems guy. Like a freaking great guy.
Great story exactly. About Borowiecki when he was in Ottawa. Literally was driving down the 417, which is a main highway in Ottawa, and it was a blizzard. Saw a guy like snowed in on the side of this road and literally stopped and dug him out.
Yeah. I even watched a couple podcasts he's on. I've even watched a couple podcasts he's on, and he seems like just a great dude. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyways, Nashville's kind of trash. So the top four, as I see it, Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas and Chicago is the top four for me, kind of, right now.
I say...
But St. Louis and Winnipeg are, you know, right there. It's not like there's a major difference. It's like a hot goalie makes a difference in this division between... Or minor
well, the Jets have the possible hottest goalie.
Yeah. And, you know, Scheifele, Eller, like, they have so much attacking, like, you know...
Connor.
So many great goals. Like easily Blake Wheeler, Kyle Connor, Scheifele, Ehlers, and Dubois could put up all 60 points each as well. Right?
Yep.
And Stastny, you know, I see him as like a 45, 50 point guy, probably, depending on the line he's on and minutes he plays. Also, Cole Perfetti, little bit of a wild card. I like him. I'm not going to draft him in fantasy or anything.
He can't skate.
Don't talk about Cole Perfetti like that ever again.
He can't skate.
I know, which means that I can skate, but better than at least two of the people here. It means that I can evaluate talent in Cole Perfetti.
Wait, who do you think you can skate better than Ty?
Definitely me.
That question.
I want you to vocalize me or Martin. Who do you think is better?
I don't think
according to Martin's caricature, he definitely can't skate.
I can't hold a hockey stick properly.
Yeah, according to the caricatures, yeah. Eric would be the best skater.
That's true. This is true.
Ty, do you think you're better than Martin or better than me?
Martin.
Also, I'm the least physically challenged out of all of those.
And probably I played hockey against Luke several times. I'm probably better than him.
I think I'm faster than you, Ty. I think if we raced in a straight line, I'd beat you.
No way.
I think so.
I'm not an extremely good skater, so you'd be better than me, Ty. Eric, you played Eric, hockey let's, for
Eric,
numerous years.
Eric, you just
I'm just I'm down to race. Let's all race.
Right, let's do it.
Let's do it. I know I can beat you running because we've done it before.
Beat you running, yes.
So I feel like I can beat you skating.
Eric, I have a broken ankle. I will go skating with you tomorrow. If it came to it.
Okay, it's on. We have to film this for Talking Hockey.
Yeah, live stream the race.
Yeah.
Good. We need some different content ideas.
Yeah, need to spicing up.
Need to provide Nick some Talking Hockey TikToks.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, anyways, back to the division.
My central division would be the Avalanche, Wild, Stars. And then Blackhawks.
Yeah. It's so hard to rule out St. Louis, too. You know?
Definitely. It is.
I will say Minnesota.
I mean, there is a...
Minnesota.
Keep going.
Colorado. I would say third place is going to be Chicago. And then the fourth place are the Jets. But then I could see... The St. Louis, I could see Dallas, you know, competing for the wild card. I don't think Dallas is as good as you guys think they are. I know 2 years removed from a Stanley Cup, but I don't think that they're anything.
I mean, they weren't
that
really
was a lucky,
you know,
Stanley Cup.
It's yeah, that's
who's
what I was going to say. They weren't exactly.
Okay, it's gone.
Oh, that's probably me. I didn't mute myself. Yeah. Well, I was going to say though, Dallas wasn't exactly the most worthy or dominant team when they made that cup run in the first place. I'm just thinking, like, if you look at the players that broke out last year, it was all their young guys. Hintz, Jason Robertson, Gergionov had like a 48 point pace season.
And they didn't have Radulov and Sagan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if those guys continue that production, and both those guys, Hintz and Robertson, were both almost point per game players, right? I think Hintz was a point per game player. I think Robertson was almost a point per game player.
Robertson was for quite some time, and then
fell off a little bit towards the end. But so that's what I'm saying overall, though. Like, Dallas can have more upside than I think people will give them credit for, just solely based off of that. That's my only point. Anyways, so that's the Central. I think the only thing we all really agree on is Minnesota, Colorado, top two, and Arizona not making it. It seems like if the Arizona Coyotes make the playoffs, Ty is going to run around his neighborhood naked three times.
I don't know. I don't know when I agree to that, but
no. I think Eric's going to have to do something. Eric's really good at making other people.
I will. I will. You guys can dump ice water on me or something.
I literally don't give a shit about Arizona. That I would not make that bet. If it was something about Toronto, easy.
Phil Kessel's on the trade block. We should let's predict where he ends up.
No.
Real quick.
No.
Rapid fire. No. Go.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Kessel?
LA Kings.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That was mine
LA
too.
Kings.
I literally looked at that and went, I feel like a nice LA Kings vibe with Kessel right there.
Yeah, me too. He'd look really good in black and white too, I think.
Yeah.
I want him to go back to Boston because I think it would be funny.
Dude, I
don't
Boston
think Boston doesn't need wingers. That's why I didn't look at them. immediately. Fair enough. Like LA could use like a goal scoring winger.
My buddy Nate, because Kessel has a pretty big cap hit, but not a big actual payment. Like he's only like $1 million that you actually have to pay him in real money, but he has like an $8 million cap hit. My buddy Nate was like, "Hey, if Ottawa is like anywhere close to being in,
nah,
they might go for it. Nah, just because Ottawa's too cheap. That's $1 million though. Like, and they have the cap space.
True. I think New York has $8 million in cap space. The Rangers, sorry, New York doesn't help. Rangers is also
I don't see the Rangers being anywhere close to being a playoff team. So
they could be. I think we'll be a little bit. I think
okay.
It'll be
let's
a little
go
bit
Metro right now. Metro okay. Next.
Good, wait. I did want because we're on the topic of Arizona. I think this is really interesting. The dress code thing that everyone got a big deal about. What do we think about that? So for context, they relax the dress code. They can wear whatever they want.
My take is, who cares?
Me too.
I do kind of like this. I do like the dress code. Ty agreed. No, he doesn't care.
Oh yeah.
I kind of like it, but at the same time, I don't give a fuck. What you wear
for
the game.
Yeah, to me, I don't hate it. I think all the reasoning behind it is bullshit. Oh, if you wear it and you act like a professional, you're more likely to win. I'm like, okay, show me the proof. Every team
100%
loses. There's a team that loses every night. The what they wear to the game does not mean anything. I think you can make suits look really nice. And like a lot of the Leafs guys wear their fedoras and have really nice spiffy suits and stuff. And like that's the only team that I ever see doing like kind of something unique. But I mean, I love the NBA's clothes and stuff. Like everyone that attributes it to discipline and winning, I'm like, bro,
no.
What are you talking about? Like most of these kids when they're 12 is like, yeah, they're like rich families or their families that are probably forced to go to like Value Village or like their local Salvation Army to be able to buy and afford anything like that looks like a suit.
I think people also overestimate how much hockey players show their personality by the way they dress. Like,
yeah.
It's like 1% of the population that actually gives a shit.
Yeah, like these guys don't show much personality.
I've never looked at their outfits pregame and been like, ooh, or like cared about it. And I get I'm not the audience.
But the NBA does that.
Like, yeah, but NHL players are basically never going to do that. So,
but NBA players wear their own stuff.
It's like a marketing that's what I'm saying.
To create their own revenue, right? Like, if
Matt some NBA players still wear suits. Like it'd be nice to see players showing up in suits, not showing up in suits. Like, whatever.
Yeah, NBA players are also part of the culture. NBA players are part of, like, you know, culture itself. Like, there's no NHL players that are part of culture. You can maybe make the argument that Matthews is trying to get himself in there by tying himself to Drew and Justin Bieber and everything, but honestly, like, the NHL isn't a part of culture.
But big update on the NBA. Brooklyn Nets said Kyrie's not allowed to do anything.
Martin,
to do with the
team. We're not talking about this.
Get vaccinated. That's all I'm saying.
Martin, we're moving on.
just get vaccinated.
I just wanted to talk about the dress code thing because I think it's interesting. Like some players might love wearing their suits and they'll still wear suits. Like who cares?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd just wear suits because it'd just be an excuse to get nice suits. And I like suits. So it's like, oh, I need it for TV. I can spend $2,000 on this. No problem. Okay, anyways. Metro. So my predictions for the Metro is simple. I'm going Islanders, Pittsburgh, Carolina, and Flyers. That's my prediction. Take it or leave it.
Say it again.
All right. So Pittsburgh. This isn't in any specific order. Pittsburgh, Islanders, Carolina, and Philly. Although Philly, they're at the bottom of that list, moving in and out depending on my mood with like the Capitals and the Rangers.
Do you think any of the Metro teams are gonna claim a wild card spot?
I think they will.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
What do you mean? Why don't you think so?
Because the Atlantic's so deep?
Oh, I guess you listed four, so one of them would have to be a wild card spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, my bad.
I think the Metro's almost guaranteed a wild card spot. Like, each of those teams I listed are better than, like, Montreal. Right?
That's fair.
So, the one, maybe, they could even, yeah, I don't see them at, I don't know. The Atlantic is deep. At the top of division, it's deep. So, that's why I think a Metro team has, the thing is, the Metro teams might beat each other up, you know? Like, they might lose a lot of points just from playing each other. So that's the only thing. Like they'll have to go out and dominate, like, other divisions in order to
like grab Atlantic teams get to play. Atlantic teams get to play the Red Wings and the Sabres.
The Senators.
Senators,
Martin.
I mean,
but there's no easy win other than maybe Columbus in the Metro.
But Columbus isn't an easy win.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're a pain to play against. They're not a torch team.
They're not a good. They're not an easy win.
They're a torch team.
Like Buffalo. Buffalo is an easy fucking win, and so is Detroit at this point.
Yeah.
Ottawa's not going to contend, but they're not per se an easy win. They'll be
anyways.
Annoying.
Ty and Luke, thoughts?
My thoughts are this. How many years have we as the Talking Hockey media group been writing off the New York Islanders?
And yeah, now we have them first.
I have them first.
I have them first. I agree with Eric. I have them first.
They're first. Easy.
They're first.
But watch this be the year where they're actually finally shit. Like everyone's called.
Imagine.
No. There's like 0% chance.
Yeah, I think they're by far the most likely team because they're the only team that's consistent.
Yeah. I think that Pittsburgh looks good. Pittsburgh always plays well. Even tonight against Tampa was pretty impressive. And I know it's the first game of the season, but they had a whole bunch of no names now that, you know, Crosby and Malkin are out for who knows how long. Basically, they're only.
I'm telling you, man, Letang Sullivan is the best coach in the NHL. He doesn't need. Everyone gives him credit for Malkin and doesn't give him credit for Malkin and Crosby, but like he can win without them.
I think that the Capitals take a step back this year, especially with Ovechkin injured to begin the year. I think a team that can surprise is the Devils after getting Dougie Hamilton, assuming Jack Hughes can be better. And the big X factor for them is if Mackenzie Blackwood plays games and if he can play games like he did, I guess, 2 years ago for them. They could be a surprise team. Rangers could take the next step, especially if Zibanejad can be consistent this year. Score 40 goals again, like how he did 2 years ago. He almost scored 50 goals, I think, before COVID stopped. He would have been on pace for 50 goals. It's tough to pick the middle, like how it is for most divisions. I think that this one's kind of tough to be just as tough to pick the middle teams, but I think it'd be something like the Islanders, Penguins, Rangers, Flyers. I could see. I think that Philadelphia is another team I think that is going to be much improved this year, especially if Carter Hart plays well.
Well, I mean, only reason the Flyers didn't make the playoffs last year is because Carter Hart had one of the worst seasons.
The Flyers, yeah. Goalie. And also the Flyers also won the division.
The year before.
The COVID-shortened season.
Yeah, but they weren't really great. Like in the playoffs, they were like not good. That bubble playoffs,
the weird,
they were
so
not
the,
good.
The year the Flyers won the division was the year that COVID started, right? And it stopped at like 70 games. And the reason they won is because they went on an insane hot streak. It was like 15, 17 games, whatever the hell it was, where they just kept winning. Before that, they were actually like almost out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Right? They were on the edge. So like... I don't give them too much credit for that 2 years ago because any team can go on a – like we've seen it with Montreal. We've seen it with Ottawa, with the Hamburglar. Like it happens, you know?
But adding Ryan Ellis is pretty huge.
But I think it's negative. It's measured out. They got Ellis and then they got Ristolainen, and it's like nothing.
I don't,
and Martin Jones is the best goalie.
I honestly don't see the Flyers in, but like I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I think there's just a bunch of what ifs with the Metro. Like, what if Carolina suffers a lot from Hamilton leaving? What if the Rangers, you know, all the younger guys that they have in their lineup step up big time? What if Flyers get Hart back to his old ways and Konechny rebounds, Giroux and Couturier and rebound,
Konechny's a huge X factor. Huge X factor.
That's why I draft him on my fantasy team. Breakout kid.
The Devils are very interesting. Again, I drafted two of them in my fantasy.
Yeah. Martin bet his entire fantasy team on the Devils, basically.
No.
Yeah, basically.
If Jack Hughes hits, which this... As a first overall pick, this should be his year to hit. And I listened to him on the 32 Thoughts podcast, and that kid sounds like a cocky motherfucker.
Does 32 Thoughts sound as good as 31 Thoughts? I don't like it.
No. But it has to be.
It doesn't sound as good as 30 Thoughts either.
I know it has to. No, yeah, I think 31 Thoughts is perfect. 30 Thoughts is like...
Yeah. 31 sounds really nice. 31 sounds really, really nice.
So I have something to say.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I'm betting on... I've already drafted him. I'm betting on Igor Chernogovich to break out beside Quinn Hughes... Or not Quinn Hughes. Jack Hughes. So we'll see. I grabbed him.
So none of you guys had the Capitals? Like, I find it very hard to write off the Capitals that hard.
Sometimes.
The only team I'm writing off in the Metro is literally Columbus, I think. That's the only team I'd write off saying they're not making it.
Yeah, but, like, they didn't have the Capitals in the playoffs.
Because Netsoff's repeatedly taken steps back. Yes. Backstrom's out for the first month, I believe.
Ovechkin just got hurt.
Yes.
Ovechkin's apparently day-to-day, though.
Yeah, day to day. John Carlson.
Samsonov's a huge X factor. Like, huge X factor.
Yes.
Like,
and that's why I draft him in fantasy, too. I draft a lot of those guys. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm stressed.
I
love how I'm predicting Capitals don't make the playoffs, and I also drafted Samsonov as my second goalie. This is good.
I see it being the Islanders, Penguins, and Carolina. As much as Carolina regressed, I don't think Brendan Moore will allow them to regress that much, because Slavin still had a almost Norris candidate year last year, so he's still sick.
You're counting a lot on
the
Freddie
Hamilton
Anderson
loss
there,
is
bud.
Still huge. Frederick Anderson is a big X factor. Who's their backup?
Antti Raanta.
Yeah, Ranta's good though.
But if he's healthy, also injured. He's been injured the past 3 years. Yeah.
And then it will be Capitals, Devils battling out. And Rangers Flyers as well. It's a battle in that division. I think we are right that they will beat the crap out of each other in the games they play.
Well, you also got to remember they only play the other teams like four times a year, I think. Right? It's not last year where they're just every single
but
game.
But four times game. Times seven teams is half your season.
Yes.
That's true.
Like, good math. Each Atlantic division team gets 8 games against Buffalo and fucking Detroit.
No, they don't. Oh, they do. Sorry. You're right.
Which is like huge.
Eric, I'm going to keep muting you.
Buffalo
until
and
you
Detroit
mute yourself.
Are like Buffalo is historically bad, in my opinion. And Jeff Merrick agreed with me. I want to point that out.
He said something and you agreed with him.
Eric, have I been saying this for a while?
I'm just kidding. I know you've been saying it for a while.
I think they're historically bad. And yeah, to play them 4 times is a blessing.
So that's a good segue to the Atlantic Division. I think Atlantic Division's really short because, you know, I think we all have the same top 4. Tampa, Florida, yes. Toronto, Boston.
I think. You want my hot take?
Is it Anthony Stewart's hot take?
No, meet yourself first, Eric. There we go. So I don't hear myself three times echoing. Leafs first.
Oof.
Florida second.
Oof.
Tampa third. Boston wild card.
Did this opinion change in the last 2 hours when Tampa lost their first game of the season?
No. I have a few, but really, like everyone who's counting on to do a three-peat forget just how much Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, and Barkley Goodjoe played for them last year.
Yes. Oh, I don't think Tampa's going to do a three-peat.
You call them their third line when they actually played the most minutes out of any forward group on Tampa last year for the playoff run and the season.
I think I just don't see Toronto being better than Florida.
I think Florida's
like overrated. Florida's first for me.
Florida does. So to be fair, Florida has a lot of regression candidates.
Yeah,
coming
exactly.
into this year. Reinhardt had a career high shooting percentage. Bennett had a career high shooting percentage. Vetrano, I think, even had a career high shooting percentage. Barkov, I think, was close to his career high shooting percent. Like, there's a bit of regression coming from the top guys. They did get, you know, they're getting Ekblad back for the rest of the season. That's huge for a full season, hopefully, quote unquote. That's huge. You know, we'll see if Knight improves, but there is a little bit of regression coming to Florida. So that's my only like cautionary tale with regards to them.
I absolutely agree with Eric on this one. I think that Florida, from their year they had last year, has become really, really overrated. They should make the playoffs, no doubt, but I don't see them running away with the division like how, you know, a lot of people might.
The thing is, and I'm really high on him, is Anton Lundell. He's kid's really good. Really freaking good. Really, really good. Arguably, like, after watching him, could be one of the top three best players in that draft easily, and I think Florida got him at like 10 or 8 or something like that. So I think he can have an impact almost right away. Owen Tippett, we'll see what happens with him. It's about time. He's 22 12. Now. Sorry?
They got him at 12.
12. So even better. And I think he's going to be a top three player out of that draft. Anyways, that's my kind of take on it.
All I want in the playoffs next year is Tampa and Florida again. I don't care how we get there. I don't care if the NHL rigs it to happen. I just want that again.
It Give wasn't me more as exciting as everyone thought it was going to be, though. Like, I think
Shut
Tampa
up.
Just...
The teams hated each other. I loved it.
Sure, but I mean, Tampa just dummied them.
Yeah, what we need is Tampa versus Florida and Leafs versus Boston. First round, baby. No. That's
hey, FYI, guys. Not watching. Joe Thornton made his pick, and he picked Florida. Over Toronto.
So that clearly means Florida is not going to win.
Thank God.
Thornton is notorious for picking teams that did not win.
Watching All or Nothing made me lose
so much
respect
eventually
for
be
Joe
right.
Dude.
I have massive respect for Joe Thornton, but his choices have not exactly been the greatest over the last 10 years of his career.
And also he sucks now. Like, he was a huge net negative on the ice towards the end of the year for the Leafs. So thank you, Joe, for not choosing the Leafs again.
Thank you, Dubas, for telling Thornton to walk, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's...
Now we can rapid fire the different things.
I
didn't say my division. It's Florida, Tampa, Toronto, Boston.
I would agree. So we all agree Montreal's not going to make the playoffs.
So that means they will win the division. That's I think just guaranteed it.
Montreal just got a brand new number one center in Adam Brooks. So I think it's possible.
Good point. That is a good point. They did.
And
they just signed Suzuki to
their number one. Yeah.
Massive. Compared to what his value is now, overpaid. Compared to what his future value is, probably fairly paid.
It should be. It's a whatever deal. I don't think it's a steal by any means. I don't think it's an overpayment.
Yeah,
but I would
there's
say
a lot of people saying steal, and I'm just like, have you watched Nick Suzuki? Like Jason Spezza had more even strength points last year than Nick Suzuki did. So that I think that says something.
Like, he's a good all around player.
Suzuki is really good.
There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah. He's really good, and he's better than Spezza, obviously. I'm just making poking fun. But I think he will be worth the contract when at his peak. So that's fine. So that's a fine contract by me. He's overpaid right now, though. Yeah. But regardless. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Kravtsov situation quickly.
McKinnon and COVID.
No, fuck COVID. I'm so tired of COVID. I'm not talking about COVID anymore. I refuse.
Okay, good. Well, you brought it up at the beginning of the show, so.
I saw you. Anyways, moving past it. Kravtsov basically asked for a trade from the Rangers. I kind of wanted to talk about it. I know I put up a couple stories on it, but like the Rangers. So can we talk about the Rangers rebuild? So the Rangers rebuild is essentially they tore it down. They went and traded a bunch of their guys. They really lucked into two top two picks, right? Lafreniere and Kako. They didn't bottom out to get those picks. They had like a 5-10% chance, whatever, at getting those, and they just hit on those chances, essentially. Yep. Right? So they never actually really bottomed out. And then like it's a really and like good for them. They didn't have to get like, you know, the top end guys like Lafreniere and stuff. But like their rebuild actually, like I was giving them a ton of credit earlier on, but a lot of it again came from luck. But now you're looking at like the way the team has kind of come together and it doesn't look as great as what the kind of potential was there for a bit.
So they blew their 2017 pick. Elias Anderson blew it.
Yes.
Yeah, completely. With the organization.
They blew the McDonough trade. The McDonough trade, there's nothing left, basically, from the McDonough trade, except potentially Lundqvist.
They're very high on him.
Yeah, they are high on him. They should be high on him, but he's the only thing left from the McDonough, JT Miller and McDonough trade, I should say. So they blew that. Jacob Trouba got a gigantic contract, and he hasn't been worth it at all. Chris Kreider got a huge 7-year deal, and he's 30 right now. Panarin, amazing player. Zibanejad just got an $8.5 million deal and he's 28 now. So the rebuild went from like a rebuild to almost like half their guys aging out already, basically.
But they also forget that they also have Adam Fox and, you know,
yeah, of course. Obviously. But they also lucked into Adam Fox. They didn't draft, develop Adam Fox. He came in NHL ready. Almost a caliber.
He only wanted to play for the Rangers.
Lucky them.
Respect, like, respect to him.
Yeah, and you know, good for him. He's doing exactly what he wanted to do. Great, but overall, like, really, they're other than sheer luck, they actually haven't done anything.
They mangled
good.
A Trouba trade. Like Pionk would be better than Trouba.
Yeah, Pionk's better than Trouba. They're dead cap. They have like $4 million and $3 million over the next 2 years in dead cap space. They have to basically hope Kako and Lafreniere turn into stars in the next 2 years to be competitive. Because the team's
and
built
honestly,
to be competitive
now. Kako's not looking good.
Yeah, Kako's but looking like he'll be a fine player, but he doesn't look like a star.
Yeah.
So. And then, you know, the bottom of the lineup, Dryden Hunt, Kevin Rooney, Julian Gauthier, Ryan Reeves, Barclay Goodrow, like very uninspired bottom.
And they gave Goodrow like a huge fucking contract.
Yeah, $3.6 million for 7 years. So overall, you know, they bunch of bad deals, bunch of older guys on big deals. We'll see what happens with Ryan Strome. He's 1 year left on his deal. I wonder if they're gonna give him a big deal. They have $8 million in cap space, to be fair to them. But then they also traded Buchnevich away because they were supposedly bringing in room for younger players / trying to save cap room for other moves and didn't use either of it. So now they traded Buchnevich away for nothing or practically nothing for a fourth line player and a pick, I think, whatever it is. And top six, arguably top line winger. And then now they're letting Kravtsov, who is supposed to be their top six winger, he's going to leave the organization. So another pick where they've kind of just wasted him away on a long line of guys that they haven't really developed at all. So that's the Rangers, basically. That's what I wanted to talk about. Or just ran. Whatever.
All right, you got that out of you?
Yeah, I got it out of me.
All right.
Now you can shut everyone. Me off.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning into this week's episode of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Leave a review. Honestly, whatever. I don't care if it's 5 stars, 4 stars. Please not less than 3 stars, though. That's all I ask. But if you don't like Eric, I will support 1 star
that's just rude.
Reviews. Anyways, that's it for this week. We will see you when the NHL is officially in full swing. Well, I guess now, but next week. Hopefully there will be more news after 5 games of NHL play. Peace.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.